Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your morning starts now. It's the Q102 Jeff and Jen podcast, brought to you by CVG Airport. Fly healthy through CVG. For more information, go to CVG Airport/fly healthy.
Continue the Sour Z News with Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, so at this point, if a franchise isn't getting a sequel or a remake or some sort of reboot, it's getting a TV series, and that's exactly what Reese Witherspoon is doing with Legally Blonde. She's working with Amazon to develop a series. It's still early on. Aren't any plot details yet.
Why did I think that already existed?
I don't know.
It's been in the works, I think. That's why.
Gotcha. They've been talking about it forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't know if Reese is going to play Elle Woods again. She previously said back in 2019 that she'd like to discover what age means to the character. So maybe. But... yeah, so they've been talking about this since at least 2019, apparently.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, she's been pretty successful in television so far with the morning show.
Morning show, and before...
She's an executive producer on that, isn't she, along with Jennifer Aniston?
She is. I believe so. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, well, let's talk about Taylor Swift here for just a moment. I mean, what are you going to pay... for Taylor Swift tickets on the secondary market now?
Thousands and thousands and thousands.
Well, I just looked up the Indianapolis show. What was that, on Monday?
Yeah.
And it was $3,000 for behind the stage.
Dear God.
Wow. Behind the stage. Yeah.
And then last year, the average ticket price for her Eras Tour, I want to say it was what, $1,000? It was a little over. It was almost $1,100 if you were lucky enough to get them.
It just bums me out because who can afford that? I mean, what percentage of the population can afford that? It just shuts out so many fans from being able to go.
Not to mention, like, does the price go down after the show starts, or do they keep who's going to sit in all these seats? No one can pay $5,000 to be in the nosebleeds. Like, what happens to them?
Well, it seems hard to imagine now, but in 2007, Taylor Swift played a concert at a small high school in Anniston, Alabama, and tickets were $20 a pop.
Aww. Can you imagine?
That would have been great.
Yeah, and the best part was that the proceeds went to supporting the school's football team. That same high school has a current enrollment of 306 kids in grades 8 through 12. So you can imagine how small of a show it was. There are so many questions, but mostly like, who booked her on this show? Her 5-song set included Our Song, Teardrops on My Guitar.
Yeah, this was the best. That was one of my favorite albums.
Should Have Said No.
Yeah.
And Tim McGraw before she closed with Picture to Burn, which is a far cry today from the Eras Tour where she plays... at least some part of 45 different songs.
Right. Well, she doesn't play very much at all from that very first album. That was her first little album.
She played one or two songs, maybe?
Usually the ones when she does the the surprise songs towards the end, it's usually something like that, like a super throwback one.
So she doesn't do much of the country stuff at all then?
Barely.
Yeah.
Also, the Eras Tour already set the Guinness World Record for the highest grossing tour of all time by generating over $1 billion in revenue.
Wow.
And instead of $20 tickets, the cheapest tickets today cost, according to Taste of Country, $365 each.
No, they don't. Where? That's when you buy them outright, maybe, if you win the lottery and you get to buy regular price tickets.
Is that the face value?
Well, my face value.
That would be the cheapest.
Well, when I bought the ticket for the Paycor Stadium show, face value was like $150, I think.
Really?
But I was up. I mean, really up. But that was the through Ticketmaster price.
Yeah. But I mean, those, they're not available anymore. Somebody reached out to me and said, I'm just going to go ahead and see if I can purchase tickets to the Paris show. She was inspired by our contest.
Uh-huh.
And she decided, you know, I'm not going to take any chances. I'm just going to go.
Uh-huh.
But all those shows are sold out. You can get tickets on the secondary market, like StubHub. You can purchase, what do you call them, scalper tickets or... Mm-hmm.
You know, they're resales.
Yeah, resales, I guess, on StubHub. But good luck finding them cheap. Last year, the average ticket price was $1,088.
And that's a
wow
up there.
Wonder how many kids from that class have pictures of themselves with Taylor Swift from high school concert.
To share a memory like that, when she did the fairy tale tour, the Today is a Fairy Tale, I saw her at the time it was U.S. Bank Arena. And that was when she was just probably one of her first headlining shows.
Yeah.
And she stopped by the radio station that day.
I remember.
And I just missed her. And
I remember her walking through.
And I remember being like, oh, I'm going to go see her tonight. And I think I had a remote or something else. And so I dipped out early that day and I missed her. But to think that I could have had a picture with Taylor Swift now.
Yeah.
From that many years ago,
right?
You know, how cool would that have been?
What I think is even cooler is that Grover's got that handwritten note from her thanking
so
him.
Does Jesse?
Yeah, that is super cool.
Her.
Yes, it's just insane.
Yeah.
I mean, that just goes to show you that she was when she started. She really did all the things to become this huge icon that she is today. Like she did put in all the work.
She sure did. She paid her dues.
Yep. When Shaquille O'Neal won a gold medal at the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta, the first thing he did was throw it out his car window.
What?
So before the gold medal game, USA basketball coach Lenny Wilkins told Shaq that David Robinson was going to get more playing time because it was probably going to be his last game. And Shaq was cool with it until he only ended up playing the last 2 minutes of the whole. They didn't put Shaq in until the last 2 minutes of the game. And he wasn't cool with that at all. He said, I was so pissed off after the ceremony. I drove home in my uniform and I threw the GD medal out the window on I-75.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah. He said he never went back for it. And as far as he knows, it's never been found. And no, he doesn't regret it.
Okay.
I know. And the thing is, Shaq had just finished his final season in Orlando, so that's where he was driving home to. If you want to try to find that medal, you got about 430 miles worth of searching ahead of you.
Jeez.
Somewhere along there. But yeah. Can you imagine being so mad that you just chucked the thing?
No way.
A gold medal.
Uh-uh.
I know.
By the way, a comic book just sold for $6 million, which, you know, if you're not really into comic books, give you some perspective, that is the all-time record as far as comic books go. Not surprisingly, it was a copy of Action Comics, issue number one from 1938, featuring the first appearance of Superman.
Oh, wow.
Experts think there are possibly only about 100 of these still kicking around. Out of the 200,000 that were printed back in the day.
Yeah.
But the previous record was also held by Superman. It was a copy of 1939's Superman number one, which sold for $5.3 million in 2022. And then in third place is a copy of Amazing Fantasy number 15 from 1962. And that's where Spider-Man made his debut. That sold for $3.6 million in 2021.
Hmm.
Jeez.
Yeah, I wonder how many, you know, of those are people who were like sincere collectors. They got them when they were a kid and They just have treasured them all these years, thinking and wondering and hoping that someday they'd be worth all this money. Or were they something they bought and they stuck in a box somewhere and then they find it in the box and then they just go down. Then they
I'd toss them. I wasn't collecting them. Some people were.
Yeah.
I just saw
one of those things where somebody went to a Goodwill store and they found like an original G.I. Joe or something like that in the packaging. And it ended up going for like $27,000 or something.
Wow.
Something they just, you know, paid a couple dollars for.
Yeah. Mm.
But people are like you. They just donate and think, man, whatever.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, Jelly Roll. Last month, told you about Jelly Roll undergoing a major mouth reconstruction surgery, and it looks like all the work has been done because his wife posted another video of him with some brand new pearly whites.
Look at that.
I know.
Is he going to?
Is that going to look weird now?
I don't know.
Is he going to put all the bling back in?
I don't know. That's a good question. The video isn't as silly as some of the other videos that were posted of him under the anesthesia when he was kind of all goofy. But the transformation of his smile is really impressive. At the end of the video, his wife asks him, are you going to keep it without the golden diamonds in? Jelly thought to himself for a moment before pointing at the camera and saying, you know what? Y'all tell us.
Oh, well, so, you might put it back in.
Should he stick with the pearly whites or should he add the golden diamonds back into his grill based on the comments? It seems like a lot more people are in favor of him leaving the new teeth just the way they are.
Oh, wow. They do look great.
I wonder what that cost them.
So different.
Teeth like that are very expensive, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, are these implants, I'm assuming?
Yes, they have to be. His whole mouth before was gone, essentially.
Wow.
I saw, too, that he's, like, doing all this transformation. He's starting to cover up his tattoos. He's also been trying to exercise more to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing a lot of wellness.
Do you guys know there's an Amy Winehouse biopic coming out?
Is there?
Yeah, it hits screens, hits theaters Friday, April 12th. Ever since a preview clip of the upcoming movie was posted, some online fans of Amy Winehouse's are not thrilled with the vocals of Marissa Abella. Now, I'm going to play this, but keep in mind as you listen, this is supposed to be Amy early in her singing career. See what you think.
Thought you had so many lessons to learn. I say you don't know what love is. Get a grip. Sound as if you're reading from some other tired script. Because I'm not going to meet your mother anytime.
I like her voice.
Yeah, like when they do a biopic like that, like, do you want the original artist's voice? Like, if they're going to do it right. You know, get the family, get the estate behind the project,
and get them to
license the rights to use the actual voice, and just have the actress or actor lip sync it.
Yeah,
for authenticity. So.
I don't, there aren't very many good lip syncers out there. I'm trying to think of any time they really pulled it off and made it seem like they were good. I mean, when they did the Johnny Cash movie, they really sang, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, they did. Reese Witherspoon and Joaquin Phoenix, they did, but they went through a lot of vocal coaching.
Yeah, and I don't remember anybody complaining about their voices.
Right. He sounded so convincing, though, as Johnny Cash.
What did
the Elvis movie?
Elvis or Austin Butler.
Oh, yeah, he sang.
Oh, he sang.
What about the Bob Marley guy? He lip synced, though, didn't
Elton
he?
Elton John movie?
Yeah, I feel like the Bob Marley guy lip synced.
But I
feel like that was really his voice.
But he did great.
Did he do a good job?
Convince me.
Yeah, because there's a couple of different times when he's on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's him lip syncing. But when he speaks, he even went through the dialect coaching to speak like Bob Marley did, and he sounds great.
Yeah. I think the other thing I liked about the Bob Marley is when you were watching the concert scenes, you know, the sound, like the way it was shot and the way they produced the sound or mixed the sound, it felt like, remember when I said this about A Star Is Born with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga, how they shot them in such a way that if you were watching it in a theater, it felt like you were there. It had that surround sound, like you could hear the crowd. You felt like you were on stage with them.
Yeah.
And that's just one of those little details that I don't know that all filmmakers pay close enough attention to.
Yeah.
To just immerse the viewer in the scene.
Right.
I really liked that movie. I don't feel like it got enough love on it at the
time. It didn't get enough critic love, but I think it was pretty successful. And it was at Kenwood Theater for a long time. It was there for months.
It was pretty good.
It may
good.
Still be there. By the way, comedian Sebastian Maniscalco is unhappy that he got some extra charges on his bill while he was out to dinner the other night. I guess this restaurant he went to charged a COVID fee. Now, you know, since the pandemic, I don't think I've seen anything like that on a restaurant bill.
Went to a restaurant last night and I got the bill and they charged me a COVID fee. And I asked the guy, I go, what's the COVID fee? He goes, yeah, well, we got to wipe down the menus. Wipe down the menus. You're charging $3 to wipe down your own menus? Before COVID, what? You just brought out the menu with spaghetti sauce on it? Eliminate the COVID fee. And they charged me 3.5% credit card fee because I was using the credit card. It's a bad look. Absorb the fee. It's called the cost of doing business. It ain't right.
Yeah, there's a restaurant in Los Angeles. They've got like a, it's a rooftop restaurant on one of the skyscrapers downtown. You know, it's pretty nice. And they had to add a security fee because it's so high up and I guess on the top of a roof and it's kind of outdoors that, you know, between the nightclub aspect of it, there's a bar up there and stuff. So it's kind of like a nightlife hotspot. They had to hire extra security, more than I guess they normally would for a restaurant that size that wasn't on a on top of a skyscraper. And it was noteworthy enough that it made the news. A security fee.
Wow.
First of its kind.
Yeah.
But they explained it. They just said, look, you know, if you want to know where your money's going or why a place is so expensive, here's why.
Yeah.
We're just itemizing it.
Yeah.
You want us to just roll it into the cost of each of the items on the menu, and then you're like, oh, dear God, $25 for Coke?
Maybe they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they do. Crazy. Well, I think that's all I've got for today.
Then we'll leave it there for now. I have more for you coming up after 7 o'clock. In the meantime, straight ahead, we got three headlines for you. Two of those headlines are fake. One headline is real. If you can guess the real headline, we're going to set you up with a four-pack of tickets to, I got it right here, Monster Jam, April 13th and 14th at the Heritage Bank Center.
Always feel confident on your second date. With help from the Plastic Surgery Group, schedule a consultation at 513-791-4440 or at theplasticsurgerygroup.com. Surgery has an
art. Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S., the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC.
We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Michelle.
Yes.
Hi, welcome to Jeff and Jen's Faker for Real. How are you this morning?
I'm great. It's Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday.
Yeah. Yay for Friday. All right, tell us which one of these three headlines is the real one. You're going to go to see the monster trucks, okay?
Okay.
All right, is it A porch pirate was caught stealing a package dressed as a trash bag? Is it B, man in tutu seen stealing people's DoorDash deliveries? Or C, woman arrested for stealing neighbor's grocery delivery off back porch?
Let's go with C.
Nah, let's go with A.
Oh.
It's A. It's the porch pirate dressed as a trash bag.
Oh, no.
I know. We used to wear trash bags as costumes, we would be raisins. Did you ever see that?
Oh, that's funny.
You take newspaper and you wad it up and stuff the trash bag so you're round.
Perfect.
And you're a raisin.
That's good.
I know. Cheap costumes.
Yeah, this is something you have to see to believe. A porch pirate was caught stealing a package from a home in Sacramento last week, dressed as a trash bag, a moving trash bag. The homeowner, Omar Munoz, shared doorbell security footage of the thief waddling up to his porch underneath a Tide garbage bag. The person under the bag shuffles over to the package, grabs it, and then kind of scoots away. Omar said he was angry at first. Then he thought, well, maybe that was a prank. Now he just finds it funny. He says he's actually not going to file a police report because the police have more important things to do, in his opinion, and it's not worth his hassle. But he said the package was also not valuable. I guess it just contained a couple of phone chargers from Temu that cost like $10. So he just reordered them and has this to say to the thief, quote, "That was a good one."
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good one.
That was a good one.
There you go.
That's funny.
It is 7:08. Jeff and Jen, Cincinnati's Q102. Possibility of a shower today, depending on where you are, on and off. Mostly cloudy and chilly. Otherwise, high 48. We're at 39 right now. We're going to do a mom and pop spot.
How about that?
It's Friday. We do them every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll play last week's.
Thanks for listening to the Q102 Jeff and Jen Morning Show Podcast, brought to you by CVG Airport. Fly healthy through CVG. For more information, go to CVG Airport / fly healthy.